This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, Text 10. So that's not your regular Bhagavatam verse. You're reading from a different canto, but we selected this verse specifically for the topic of remembering Prabhupada's sacrifice coming to the West to preach Krishna consciousness. Translation. This body, which is edible by jackals and dogs after death, does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else there will be sources of tribulation and misery. The speaker here is Dadichi. Just for context. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Similar advice is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:22:35. Anyone like to read the Sanskrit there? Oh, there. Thank you, Govinda. Can always count on Govinda for the sloka. Thank you. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is the mission of life. One's own body and the bodies of his friends and relatives, as well as one's own riches and everything else one has, should be engaged for the benefit of others. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 9:11, wonderful. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatavarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The word upakara means para upakara, helping others. Of course, in human society, there are many institutions to help others. But because philanthropists do not know how to help others, their propensity for philanthropy is ineffectual. They do not know that the ultimate goal of life, shreya archanam, which is to please the Supreme Lord. If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed towards achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would all be perfect. Humanitarian work without Krishna is nothing. Krishna must be brought into the center of all our activities, otherwise no activity will have value. Om Gyanantim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pongum Langayate Girim Yat Krapa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraguna Shri Jivago Palbata Dasaraguna Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Tavasmi Radhika Natha Karmana Manasagira, Krishna Kante Tavai Vasmi Yume Vagatir Mama, Govinda Valabe Radhe Partiye Tvamaham Sada, Twariyayati Janatu Govindo Mamtayasaha, Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunam Ritavahini Kripaya nijaparabja dasyam mahyam pradiyatam. Vanchakal patarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we are remembering today the departure of Srila Prabhupada for the United States of America, 16th of August, the year 1965, where Prabhupada made his departure from the docks in Calcutta. And a momentous occasion for the fulfillment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that Krishna consciousness would be practiced all around the world. In every town and village, people would be chanting Gauranga's name, Lord Chaitanya's holy name. A prediction that for most of history, people thought was something very poetic. Kaviraj Goswami had written that in every town and village, the holy name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant it. They thought it was nice poetry by Kaviraj Goswami, but not really something that could be achieved in actuality. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur certainly had a vision for that this could take place. He wrote books, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and others in English language. He sent those books to distant lands, tried to interest people in Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati similarly sent disciples, three of his best sannyasi preachers, he sent to England to try to bring Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, to this land. They had some success. They were invited for some gatherings. There was some audience at the palace with royalty. Interest was also there in Germany. But as far as the mission that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had envisaged, nothing really took root. And so he recalled those sannyasis back to Calcutta, back to India. Prabhupada, he was the one to again embark on this mission, an instruction having been given to him by his spiritual master in their very first meeting. Prabhupada was initially reluctant to go and see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He had seen so many sadhus. His father would bring them to their home and he would ask them to bless his family. He would ask them to bless Prabhupada as a child, that one day he would be a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. He had seen many of these sadhus, and most of them that his father had brought, Prabhupada had seen to be charlatans or fake. They didn't have any depth of devotion. And so when his friends invited him to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati at Ultadanga Road, the Gaudiya Math there, one of the very first of the months from where Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati inaugurated his mission. Maharaj, is it true that ISKCON now has that property at Ultadanga Road in Kolkata? Okay. I understand that devotees, ISKCON devotees, have actually procured that location. So that's very, very exciting. So that very first meeting, Prabhupada, he was reluctantly dragged there, so to speak, not literally, but figuratively, by his friends who were excited. They had met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and they were excited, and they thought if Prabhupada will meet him and give his approval, because he was the leader of their group of friends, then that would give reassurance to them all who were impressed by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And so Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. The story is famous. We all know it well, that he paid his obeisances. And then as he got up from paying his obeisances, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said to him, "You are an educated young man. You should preach Chaitanya's message in the English language." Quite startling, as if there is a recognition, an immediate recognition in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to Prabhupada, who's just come before him, a recognition of his eternal servant who will fulfill this great purpose. You are an educated man. You must preach Chaitanya's mission in the English language. Prabhupada felt it his responsibility to respond with some kind of challenge, not to take this instruction without any at least token resistance. And so he came back with quite a strong and, we might say, a serious challenge, a serious rebuttal. He said, India is still an occupied country. Who will listen to India's message while it remains occupied by a foreign power? I think that's a nice, a good, strong rebuttal that Prabhupada has offered here. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's response always resounds with me, particularly in these times of political turmoil. We have political turmoil here in the UK, an uncertain, unknown future before us, and around the world we see this political instability and great anxiety across the community. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's response to Prabhupada in this first meeting that always resounds with me each time I see a new headline, which is pretty much every day, of some another cause for concern in the political situation in the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, Krishna consciousness is too urgent to wait for any perfect political situation. It's too important. It cannot wait for some ideal political situation to emerge. Chaitanya's message must be taught now. And that gives me reassurance, as I said, every time I see a new political development and cause for alarm, quite frankly, in these current times. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's his words, that the only solution for any of this is become Krishna conscious. The political situation, devotees can get tied up, can get caught up in the political turmoil or the political currents of the day, backing this party or another, this president or prime minister or another. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's words cut through with a resonance. Krishna consciousness is too important for any of this political triviality. It is too urgent, too important, and it is the real solution. So Prabhupada embraced that instruction. He said in that first meeting, he immediately accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati within his heart as his spiritual master. The remaining years, he's a grihastha, and so he can't fully throw himself into supporting the mission of his spiritual master, but he does what he can, as best as he can. Any opportunity that is given, he's there to support his spiritual master and his godbrothers. Years later, when he's running his pharmacy in Allahabad, then godbrothers come there and they ask for their support, and he helps them to establish a Gaudiya Math, a temple for their spiritual master in Allahabad. Later he helps his with the same in Mumbai as well. And he tries in different ways to promote Krishna consciousness. He translates the Bhagavad Gita into English, but then the manuscript is lost. And he starts a periodical called Back to Godhead. Later, he starts to have reoccurring dreams where his spiritual master is coming to him and saying, you must take sannyas. And Prabhupada later recounts that this terrified him, this idea of taking sannyas. And he revealed in confidence to his godbrothers, this is what's happening. Our spiritual master has passed away, but he keeps appearing to me in dreams telling me to take sannyas. And so they reinforced their spiritual master's words that indeed Prabhupada should take sannyasa. And so he took sannyasa and was later known as Bhaktivedanta Swami. He continued his efforts with trying to spread Krishna consciousness as a sannyasi. He's translating. He went from producing his periodical Back to Godhead to translating Srimad Bhagavatam, A Life's Mission. And he's trying to find opportunities to come to the West as well. There was an exhibition that was taking place in Japan. He saw that as an opportunity, so he wrote to the organizers and said, I have this idea for presenting Eastern philosophy and teachings in an interesting way for the Japanese people. We'll take these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam describing the seasons, where Sukadev Goswami describes autumn. And he uses autumn, the different aspects of autumn, the rain and the frogs and the storks and all these different aspects, all these different features, as metaphors for explaining philosophy. And so Prabhupada, he had this idea that we could do this, we could paint, illustrate all of these verses from the description of autumn, and we could display them at this conference in Japan, and it would be a nice opportunity to introduce the Japanese people to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It didn't happen. The organizers were unable to support Prabhupada in this endeavor, arrange for his ticket and arrange for the artist to illustrate the verses that Prabhupada had selected for this project. Very thankfully, later devotees from the BBT actually commissioned an Oriental artist to depict these verses that Prabhupada had in mind, and we have that as a publication called The Light of the Bhagavat. But you can see how Prabhupada's mind is working to find the appropriate means to bring Krishna consciousness to a particular people. Oriental people, they like the haiku poetry and nature and depictions of nature. And so Prabhupada saw that as an avenue or an opportunity to appeal to the Oriental intellect and aesthetic as a way of presenting Krishna consciousness. So the BBT have published The Light of the Bhagavat, bringing that idea of Prabhupada's to fruition. So that didn't work out, but Prabhupada's trying other ways, and he eventually he makes contact with Sumati Murarji of the Sindhya Steamship Company. He goes and sits in her office and asks for a meeting. She's very respectful to sadhus. I met Sumati Murarji. I went to her home in Mumbai. Giriraj Maharaj took us once we were there for 1983. I was in the Vrindavan Gurukul. Must have been 9 years of age at the time. And then for our summer, Vrindavan gets very, very hot. And so we were taken to Mumbai, because it's cooler, it's by the sea, and we were doing some programs there, preaching programs. And so Giriraj Maharaj took us to Sumati Murarji's home, and she told us about Prabhupada and gave us Mahaprasadam from Srinathji, because she was a great devotee of Srinathji. So she's a Vaishnavi. She's a devotee of Srinathji, and there's a sannyasi, a Vaishnava sannyasi in her waiting room next to the office, wanting to meet with her. So she agrees to meet him, and he says that he wants to go to America and she must help him. And she looks at him. He's elderly. He's 70 years of age. And she says, you will not survive the journey. I cannot be party to this, putting you on a ship and sending you off. You don't. Who do you know there? What facilities will you have once you arrive? And he said, well, I don't have anyone there, but I have a sponsor. He's agreed to sponsor my visa. It was somebody that Prabhupada met in Jaipur. Someone Prabhupada met who said, I have a son in India. And Prabhupada said, oh good, get him to sponsor my visa. That was the extent of it. And so the man, he wrote to his son, Gopal Agarwal, in Buffalo, and said, you must sponsor the visa for a Swami Bhaktivedanta. Gopal's a good Indian boy, as his father says, so he follows the instruction. He doesn't think anything will come of it. So Prabhupada gets the visa. And that's why he's... Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Shiva Nitai. Prabhupada has the visa, and so he's at Sumati Maharaji's office. I have the visa, now I just need the ticket, and you can help. And she can't agree, because she sees it as almost like a suicide mission, that Prabhupada will not survive the journey physically, and he has no one there to stay with once he arrives. So as much respect as she has for Prabhupada, she cannot support him in this endeavor. Now, I was told an interesting story by Atmatattva Prabhu. He told me that he heard it from the secretary of Sumati Muraraji. So there's a little chain there. You can make of it what you will. Prabhupada would go and sit in front of Sumati Muraraji's office each day, like over many, many, many days, and she wasn't seeing him anymore because she had already told him that she couldn't help. But Prabhupada was persistent. And he would just sit there. He would arrive in the morning, 9 a.m., when her office is about to open, and then he'll leave at 5 p.m. when the office closes. And he did this over weeks and weeks and weeks. And her conscience wouldn't allow her to support her, to agree to Prabhupada's request. So one day Prabhupada came in and he said, I have a really important message for Mrs. Muraraji. You tell her that her name is mentioned in the Shastras. So that got her interest. She's a Vaishnavi. The door opens. Okay, what is it? Where is my name mentioned in the Shastras? And so this is where this story is going to get a little weak. Prabhupada quoted a verse from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, as I understand. I don't know the exact reference. Where it says that Chaitanya's glory will be proclaimed across the earth, and those who are Sumati, of good intelligence, they will see that it happens. Now we have a similar verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangascha Parashidam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. That verse fits for me as well, but what I heard from Atmatattva Prabhu was that it was some verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, but it could very well have been Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who are intelligent in the age of Kali, they worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is engaged in Sankirtan, surrounded by his associates. So Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. So there is your name. Chaitanya's mission is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and your name is here as party to this. Now, the story I was told was that was the final convincing argument, that she saw that there's a prophecy, Chaitanya's glory to be spread around the world, and her name is connected to that prophecy. She couldn't resist Prabhupada's argument anymore, and so she basically wrote out the order allowing Prabhupada to have free passage on one of her ships, on the Sindhya Steamship Company. Okay, so that is the wonderful history. When Prabhupada boarded that ship in Calcutta, there were a few friends, there were some family members, I understand his son or his sons were also there to say goodbye to him, but no great following there to bid him adieu, to bid him farewell. He had a trunk with some books. He had, this famously, 40 rupees and some books in a trunk of books, his Srimad Bhagavatams. And nothing else materially, of course, his heart and his mind were filled with devotion to this instruction that he had received from his spiritual master, and deep faith in the power of the holy name to deliver the misdirected civilization, as he described it. And so surely you'll have another gathering and discussion when it comes to Prabhupada's arrival on Boston Pier, I think 21st of September, and so I don't want to go to now describing the poem or the prayers that Prabhupada expressed while on the Jaladutta and the hardship, because that's part of that story for today, where our meditation is leading up to this moment of Prabhupada's departure from the port in Calcutta, headed to the United States of America. I've selected some verses for this discussion. So what we've read today is the response of Dadichi to the demigods who have come to him with a request. Now, the demigods, they are fighting Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, a terrible... He's a Vaishnava, actually, but he's in the form of a demon. And the demigods have been terrified by him. And they're unable to... they're unable to stand before him and engage in battle. But they must, because they are the devas, and the devas' duty is to defend the world from asuras. And Vritrasura is in the shape of an asura, and he's fulfilling that role. He's playing that part incredibly well. And so they approach Vishnu, and they ask for direction. What shall we do? And Vishnu says, you need some special weapon. And so this will be a weapon made from the bones of a great sage who has embodied all the tejas and all the power of their austerity and penance and meditation. If Indra can have a weapon made, if Vishvakarma will make a weapon from the bones of such a sage, then and only then will you be able to overcome the power of this demon. And so they approach Dadichi. May we please have your bones? It's quite a extraordinary and unusual request. We need your bones, please, that we might craft some implement. How would any of us react to such a request? Surely we would, I think 99.9% of us would refuse. It's impossible. How will I give you my bones? I'll die. And that's the very point. Dadichi must die in order to fulfill the request of the demigods. Initially, he refuses, actually. And they try to convince him about compassion and how great sages are compassionate. And he said, of course, I was just joking. I just wanted to see how you would react to this. But this is his response here. He says, this body anyway will die. So if it can be used to in the service of others, then that's a glorious thing. Why should I hold on to this body selfishly just for myself when this body can be used in the service of others? If my bones can fulfill such a great purpose as protecting Dharma and destroying demons to establish the rule of the devas, then that's a great thing. That's a great privilege and opportunity for me. And so this verse is given as an example of the attitude of great souls. Prabhupada, we often say, he had a very comfortable situation. Prabhupada had said it himself, I had a very comfortable situation in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He was living there in the Radha Damodar temple. He was living there by the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, the bhajan kutir of Srila Jiva Goswami. He was satisfied. He was happy. He had everything that a devotee can wish for. But his heart was not satisfied in that at the same time he was cognizant of suffering humanity, forgetful of Krishna. And this great burning desire to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. And so he embarks on this daring journey where he may very well. Sumati Muraji was right to be alarmed because Prabhupada indeed suffered 2 heart attacks on that journey. But he's ready to make that sacrifice. And so Dadichi is expressing these words of an exalted soul. This body, which is edible by jackals and dogs after death does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. Now, what is it to engage for the benefit of others? Prabhupada, in his purport, he says, engaging in activities for the benefit of others actually means not just upakara, but para upakara. Upakara means welfare work. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this distinction in terms of para upakara. Para refers to the spiritual or the transcendent. So spiritual welfare work. Welfare work that satisfies or gives some temporary relief to the suffering of the body. Yes, it's noble, and we'll offer our respect there. However, it's a temporary relief, a temporary fix to a much deeper problem of forgetfulness of Krishna. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amaragyaya Guru Hana Tara Edesh, on my order, become a spiritual teacher and deliver the people of this land. Engage in this para upakara, engage in this highest welfare activity of reminding people of Krishna. Whomever you meet, wherever you go, remind people of Krishna. This is the highest welfare work. And so Prabhupada, he dedicated himself, leaving everything behind, embarking on what may be a journey where he may end his life, but he's doing that through a determination and a commitment to this para upakara. Now, Prabhupada quotes two other verses in his purport that we should give our attention to briefly. He quotes a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:22-35. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with this life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is a quote from the 10th canto where Krishna is walking with Balaram. They're walking through Vrindavan forest, and Krishna is pointing out to Balaram. It's so nice that we have this Balaram's appearance day yesterday, so we can continue to remember Lord Balaram. Krishna's walking with Balaram, and Krishna's pointing out to Balaram the beauty of the Vrindavan forest. Particularly, he's pointing out the trees and how they are laden with fruits, and how the branches of the trees are bending down because of the heavy bounty of their fruits. And Krishna says, they're paying their obeisances to you. They have seen you coming, and now they're bending down to offer you their humble obeisances. And in further glorification of the trees, Krishna compares them to great souls who are humble and who bend down low with a rich bounty in order to benefit others. And that is the nature of great souls, as Krishna points out in this verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also quotes this verse, and he quotes it in a passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, where he compares himself metaphorically to a gardener. He says, I'm a gardener, and I've planted a special tree, a tree of devotion. And this is a transcendental tree. So the limbs of the... That's an indication to me. Triple out, end the class. Bear with me a couple more minutes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm a gardener and I've planted this tree. The branches and the trunk and the fruits, they're all transcendental. And so the limbs are interchangeable in that way, like Krishna Angani, Yasya Sakalendriya Brittimanti. Each of his limbs can perform the functions of the others. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is also the tree. It's a wonderful metaphor, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expands it in different ways. But then he says that he needs help in distributing those fruits. And in saying how he needs help to distribute these fruits of love, he quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's telling Balaram, just see these trees bending over with fruits. They are like great souls who work or act for the benefit of others. Not concerned for themselves, but do everything for the benefit of others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then goes on to give this order. He says, I give an order that everyone help me in spreading this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So that's famous. And then a few verses later, he gives this other Brahmanda Brahmite Kaila Manusha Janmahai. He says, those who are born in India especially must make their lives successful by spreading, by sharing Krishna consciousness, in this, engaging in this para upakar, this spiritual welfare work. Prabhupada really liked to speak on this verse, this Brahmanda Bhumite Kaila verse, particularly among Indian audiences. This was a go-to verse for Srila Prabhupada. He would say, you have all had this good fortune of being born in India. You have received teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata since an early age. And now, rather than being distracted by the West, you must take this treasure and share it with the world. And this was a recurring theme. Years ago, when Indrajuna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj were sharing a program together, and Giriraj Maharaj, and it was mainly Indian audience, and Giriraj Maharaj asked Indrajuna Maharaj to give the talk. So Indrajuna Maharaj went to this verse, and he spoke from this verse. And afterwards, Giriraj Maharaj, he complimented Indrajuna Maharaj, and he says, that's the verse that Prabhupada would go to when he was speaking to Indian audiences. He says, it has great resonance for the Indian community. Now, Prabhupada, when he discusses this verse, he says, he comes to himself and he says, I am one man. I'm trying to fulfill the instruction of this verse. And somehow or other, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we are having some success. So Prabhupada really saw himself as the I don't want to put words into Prabhupada's mouth. I was going to say embodiment or the fulfillment. Prabhupada saw himself, I'll step back and say, Prabhupada saw himself as fulfilling the instruction of this verse in, as an Indian, or someone, as someone born in India, who then fulfills Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction and takes Krishna consciousness to the West. Now, in this audience here, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, in this class, not all of you are born in India or of Indian origin, and so where is the resonance of this verse to you? Prabhupada ends his purport to this verse by saying, those who have come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and taken initiation in the Krishna consciousness movement also have this responsibility because they have also received this good fortune, and having received this good fortune, they also have a responsibility to make others fortunate as well by sharing Krishna consciousness. And so we conclude here with gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for sacrificing, making the highest sacrifices. Dadichi is an example, giving his bones. Prabhupada gave his blood, his sweat, his tears, an entire lifetime of preparation, and then complete faith as he embarks on this journey to preach in the West. He had complete faith in the holy name that it would have an effect. That's revealed in his writings, that if people just hear Krishna's name, they hear the teachings of Bhagavatam, their hearts will be purified. And so we have, the whole world is indebted to Srila Prabhupada. They don't know it. The whole world doesn't know that. We know it. We have been touched by Prabhupada's mercy, and so we know, we are conscious of our debt, and so we must also commit ourselves. This is our inheritance, what we inherit from our acharyas, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupert and Sanatan to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati to Prabhupada. What we have inherited from them is also this mandate and responsibility to continue to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll conclude there. If there are any comments or questions,